Welcome again to our weekly broadcast of The Harvest. It's so good to have you here with us again today, and I hope that you've invited some friends to join you on this next 30 minutes of time. Thank you for setting this time aside to be with us. We're excited today to have as our special guest a gentleman who has been called to the Himalayas, the Himalayan area of the world. And so he's going to tell us a little bit more about that. And so I hope that you will right now welcome with us Pierce Davis to The Harvest. Pierce, it is great to have you with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here, and I'm excited to talk with you guys for a few minutes.
Well, very good. Well, hey, so as we get started here today, tell us a little bit about your background. I know you're married, you have a couple of kids. Tell us about your family, also where you're from, and what inspired you to become a missionary? Why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah, so my wife and I, Megan, we've been married for going on 13 years now. And 3 months after we got married, we signed up to go into missions. And so it's kind of the only life we've really known for these last 13 years. Our kids, we have two sons, Elliot, who's 6, and Summit, who's about to turn 5. They were both born on the field. And so missions is kind of the only life we've really ever known. And it's funny because when people ask me, they're like, Pierce, why are you a missionary? I don't really have this great theological response I can often give people. My first response to that question is, why wouldn't I be a missionary? And it's funny because I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I actually grew up in this little town in Dalton, Georgia. We grew up in a trailer park, and my parents were drug addicts and alcoholics my entire life. My mom remarried 5 different men before I turned 15 years old. My dad was pretty much non-existent in my life. I never remember a time in my life where my mom or where my dad hugged me or even said that he loved me. And I remember when I was 15, I came home from a trip with some friends and walked into my house. And for 3 weeks, I sat there alone as the power got shut off, the water got shut off, the electricities. And finally, my sister came and told me that my mom and stepdad at the time, they had gotten arrested for drug possession. They posted bail and they fled the state. I didn't see my mom again for a year after that. So I've been living on my own since I was 15 years old. But I always say that my mom did one thing right growing up. There was this little church in our town that had a bus ministry. And every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, that bus would come through our trailer park and my mom would force me onto that bus so that she could have a free babysitter and go party. And it was that church that changed my life. It was the men and women of God in that church who became spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers to me that set me on the path to where I am today. So it's like when you ask me, why am I a missionary? Why wouldn't I be a missionary? I encountered God's grace. I met the goodness of Jesus Christ in my life. And I want to tell as many people that as humanly possible. And so that's kind of why my wife and I packed everything up and we moved halfway around the world, is because we believe that God's plan of salvation is made possible for every single person, but God needs messengers to go into the harvest field.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a story. You look at you now, and I think people that look at missionaries and those in ministry and, you know, doing the work of the Lord would never imagine some of the things that we've all experienced that brought us to where we are today. I don't think I've heard too much of a profound story than what you just shared of how the Lord really rescued you out of that environment there. So let me just ask you this before we move forward, because I feel like maybe there's some people that might know some folks, or maybe they're experiencing it themselves, where they feel like that there's a hopeless case out there in a lot of ways. A rebellious teenager, a child or a husband or a wife who's just doing all kinds of stuff, you know, and running from the Lord. The Lord apparently obviously had his hand on your life and rescued you out of that. What would you say to the folks that maybe are kind of on the front side of this and they don't have that story to tell yet? How would you encourage them to maybe continue to pray for their children or their spouse or whoever that God's plan could be fulfilled in their lives?
Patience and a lot of grace. I was a highly dysfunctional kid. I was mean. I didn't know how to receive love. In fact, when I first started dating my wife, like in my family, we never said goodbye to each other. You just came and went as you wanted. And I would just like leave and not say anything to my in-laws or my future in-laws. And they would be so upset at me. And I just didn't know how to receive love because my view of love was so distorted for so many years. It took me a long time to learn how to receive love. It takes a lot of grace and a lot of patience to deal with people in my situation because you have to retrain everything they think. And that was something that I had to learn in my life. And it took me years. And there's still certain things in my life that I'm still kind of, you know, working on and recovering from a little bit. But just have patience. Like I was just meeting with someone that had mentored me when I was a kid. And she flat out said a couple of weeks ago in front of my wife, she's like, man, we just didn't think you were going to make it. We really thought you were a lost cause. Wow. But they never gave up on me. And she's just like, she was a spiritual mother in my life that, man, I knew that she loved me. And whenever I needed anything, I could turn to her. And there were times she wanted to give up on me, but she just held true to just patience and grace in my life.
Mm. Yeah. And I think about the whole idea of that grace that you're talking about. I'm so thankful that God's given us that same grace. You know, we mess up time and time again. So I guess the folks that are watching, let me just encourage you as well. If it takes 100 times for you to do the same thing, and speak into that person's life, and you stop at 99, you've missed out, right? So you've missed out on God using you to get that person to where he or she needs to be. So patience is powerful, and it's actually a fruit of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can help you with that patience. And grace comes from that, really, that Christ-like grace comes from your relationship with the Lord. And I guess just don't look at the outward appearance or the outward actions of people, but just keep pouring grace and be patient with that person that you are believing in, because they could very well be a next missionary to the Himalayas or some other part of the world. God's got a plan for that young boy or that young girl's life. And you know, one of the things too, Pierce, is as we're talking about this, our church here locally in Rock Hill, South Carolina, we're partnering with it's a New Life Hope Center. It's a homeless ministry here in our community, and there's quite a few people from our church that are going there throughout the week, and on weekends we have church services, but we're also going there throughout the week to give them practical tools of social skills and financial management and how to show up for work on time and how to write out a resume, for crying out loud. It's just stuff that we would take for granted. So I think we need to be careful, and maybe you could speak into this. We need to be careful from some of our backgrounds. We were raised to learn these things that we take for granted that we can't assume everybody else knows. What you got any thoughts on that and what we could do to kind of continue to walk this out?
Yeah, I think that's an incredible ministry that, you know, every one of us should be participating in something like that. And I think like we have to have like a change of heart, right? Like I remember a few years into my career, we were living overseas. And the Holy Spirit just confronted me one day and he just said, you're still angry at your mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And I, as soon as I turned 18 years old, I moved away from my hometown and kind of never went back. And I was still holding onto a lot of anger and a lot of resentment. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking and saying, you know, you moved all the way around the world to tell people about Jesus, but you won't tell your own mom and dad about mm-hmm. God's grace and about Jesus. And I remember that convicted me. And in that moment, I kind of broke down and I'm like, I realized I really did have this hatred for my parents, my mom and dad. Wow. So over the next few months, I just really let the Holy Spirit speak into that in my life. And I just really gave him room to grow and or to change me. And over the next few months, I actually called my mom and I called my dad separately. And I just said, hey, I want you to know that I love you and I forgive you. I didn't bring up any of the past. But I just said, I forgive you. But more than anything else, God forgives you and God loves you and God wants that relationship with you. My dad never even responded, just pretty much hung up the phone. Haven't really talked to him since. But that conversation changed my mom because it set her on this new path where she ended up coming to know Christ. She got clean from the addictions of her past. And actually last year, I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see my mom sitting with three police chiefs in our town, all working on how to get people off of drugs. She's working with a teen challenge type place over in Northwest Georgia and, you know, trying to get people through that recovery that she had once had to struggle with herself. And I think it's just an amazing testimony that you just never know what God's going to do in what exact moment. Just one minor conversation with someone could just literally change the trajectory of their life.
How hard was that for you to do, to call your parents to apologize or to forgive them?
Oh, it was the hardest thing I ever did. The reason it took 3 months is because I fought with God, because I literally thought they deserved whatever treatment or whatever rejection I was giving them. And I realized, like, yeah, they were my mom, they were my dad. There were probably certain things that they needed to do for me as a child. But at the same time, I was not going to allow the past to dictate my future. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I had to overcome that anger and that hatred. And it was funny because when I called them, it was like this weight had just lifted off my shoulder, this weight that I'd literally been carrying around for 20 something years of my life. So it was hard. I'm not going to say this was easy. It was very, very difficult. But the freedom I've experienced since then is unlike anything I could explain.
Wow. Yeah, it's so interesting when you think about it, because Satan's job is to steal, kill, and destroy, and he loves to bind us with chains of unforgiveness and bitterness and all that sort of thing. And if we could realize, and I want you to listen to this, folks, as you're listening to Pierce's mm-hmm. heart, the freedom that he experienced after he forgave was unlike anything else that he's ever experienced, and he's been so free ever since then. The chains, really what happened was those chains that Satan tried to bind him with, that bitterness and unforgiveness, fell off as he walked in love and forgiveness towards those that hurt him. And you have to understand, when people hurt you, they're not hurting you because they hate you. They're hurting you because they're hurting. And hurt people hurt people. And they didn't know any better either. And I'm not trying to excuse their actions away. It's just, here's the thing. If we know the truth, and if we know Christ, you know, and we're walking in the light of his love and his forgiveness and his righteousness and all of his attributes, then we're responsible to then step into that place of being Christ to others, like Pierce, like your mom and dad.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. So you've taken that experience, and wow, what a story! And now here you are with your wife and children, two boys, and you've gone halfway around the world, and now you're in what we're called the Himalayas. I'm not going to be too specific because it's a sensitive part of the world. But what is it that you've done? Tell us some stories about how things have been going there.
Yeah. So over the last few years, like, God's really been transitioning our hearts. We've lived in Thailand for the last 7 years as church planters, and we predominantly work amongst Buddhist people groups. And a couple years ago, God laid a specific country in our hearts in the Himalayas. This is a country that when I travel there, they charge $250 a day just for your tourist visa to be in the country. You have to have a government chaperone tour guide with you 24/7. And they just got access to TV and internet really within the last 5 to 7 years. And even then, it's very limited and controlled. And they do not allow Christianity in the country. And when I was there, we found out that they don't even have a church, not even any church that we found out, underground church or whatever, in their own local language. And so while we were there traveling, our sending organization actually paid for my family to go there for 1 month. It cost $25,000. For us to be in this country for 1 month. But we believe that the price was worth it, because the church must be planted no matter the cost, no matter where it's at. We believe that God's church must be planted. And I remember being in this country, and I'm with my government chaperone tour guide, and we're walking into this temple, and I'm pretty familiar with Buddhism. I know all the major idols and figures that you would bow down and worship to. But we walk into this temple, and right in the middle of the room was this 20-foot idol of a person that I'd never seen before. So I look at my tour guide, who was a devout Buddhist, grew up in this country his entire life, was not a Christian. And I look at him and I go, Tenzing, like, I've never seen this idol before. What's his name? And Tenzing looks at me and he goes, I have no idea who he is. I've never seen him before either. But what struck me as interesting is I then watched Tenzing go up to the foot of the altar, and he begins to circumvent the idol, and he begins to prostrate every third step, begins to bow down before the idol. He begins to light incense, ring the bells and the dong, and do all the different forms of rituals and worship. And one of the last thing he does is he comes up to the foot of the altar and he bows down and he begins to pray. And then he pulls out his wallet and he leaves money at the foot of the idol. And on the way out, I asked him, I go, Tenzing, if you have no idea who this idol is, then why do you pray to him? And he looks at me, and I'll never forget it. He goes, I don't know. It was the only thing I was ever taught to do. But if you have no idea who this idol is, What do you pray for? I asked him. And he goes, well, I always pray for three things. One, I pray for wealth and fame. Two is I pray that my family and I will be healthy. And the third thing I pray for is that all the animals will come back as humans. And I go, but Tenzing, why do you pray those three things specifically? And he looks at me and he goes, I don't know. It was the only thing I was ever taught to do. And it's funny because when I asked those questions, I knew the answer to those questions. I know why he prays the way he does. I know why he bows before this unknown idol. It's because his country does not allow believers in the country. It's because there is not a local church in his community, and he has never had an adequate understanding or access to the gospel message. And it was in that moment that God began to transition our hearts. And so my family and I have spent the last couple months in the Himalayas, and we are working on putting the first church planting team in this nation with the intent of planting the first church in their local language. And so God has just given us a heart for the Buddhist world. And the Buddhist world is, it's kind of this mystery. We see it as like this silent religion here in the West. Like not a lot of people know about it, but it's actually the fastest growing religion in the world right now is Buddhism and New Age concepts. And I believe there's this darkness that's kind of hovering over the Himalayas because they've never had access to the gospel in their history. But I believe that God is calling out a generation to move to these places because they desperately need the gospel message.
Yes.
And so that's where God's been calling our family these last couple of years.
If they don't allow Christianity and allow, you know, churches or anything like that, I don't know if you can tell us this, or maybe you can kind of skim over it and kind of give us an idea, but how are you going to establish a church in a place where they don't allow that sort of thing?
So I think we have to start by redefining what we mean by church. Church is not a building that we come to once or twice a week and have this experience. But church is a place where the community of like-minded believers come together, whether that's in a house or whether that's in smaller cell groups. And so we're really exploring that. So what we focus on is going into these villages and starting house churches. And so obviously we can't go into this country as a missionary. So we are going to be starting a business that's going to give us the visa platforms into the country in order to start a series of underground churches.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So let's say these underground churches, these home groups start and they're found out by the local authorities. Is it illegal to have that sort of thing there?
Yeah, so it's interesting. When I was in the country 2 years ago, I actually had the opportunity to have coffee with the first person of this country who was actually arrested and prosecuted under the government's new regime for proselytizing and for evangelizing. So a few years ago, if you were caught evangelizing, you would literally disappear in the middle of the night, and most often you were never seen from or heard from again.
Wow.
But a couple years ago, the government wanted to make a public a stand to say that they're not going to tolerate this. So they arrested this pastor, and I'm sitting there having coffee with him. And he's telling me his story about how he gets arrested and he has a Bible on him, and they throw him in this prison cell that he shares with about nine other guys. There's three beds in the room and a little hole in the floor where they were supposed to go to the bathroom. Said it was just awful conditions. But after 9 days of sitting in this prison cell, he asked the prison guard, he goes, is there any way that I could have my Bible back? And for some reason, the prison guard went, grabbed his Bible and gave it back to him. And this pastor told me that over the next 2 years, as he sat in that prison cell, the Holy Spirit just laid it in his heart to study the book of Acts and the book of Job over and over again. And he actually pulls out the Bible and shows it to me. And you see the markings of where he just studied these two books of the Bible relentlessly over those 2 years. And what he didn't realize was that over the next 2 years, he was going to face trial 19 different times in this nation, all for preaching the gospel. And on all 19 times he was acquitted, he was let go because he would argue the same arguments that Job used amongst his friends and the same arguments that Paul would use before the Roman emperor. And so that pastor was released and is back in the country, but under deep watch. His ministry has really been, you know, diminished because of this. But yeah, it is a country that is very resistant towards the gospel.
You know, it's really interesting to see how afraid Satan is when you think about it. Mm. He's charging people $250 a day, $25,000 a month, which is, it's just untenable. There's no way anybody can afford that. Yeah. So he's trying to shut it down that way. Or let's make a law, let's put him in jail. That's just on and on it goes. But if we read the book of Acts, we realize that every time that Satan tried to shut down the gospel, it just did nothing but expand it. And so I'm so excited actually to hear of the opposition of the gospel in that country, because that tells me that Satan is afraid of it getting out. And it also tells me that God is going to make sure it does get out, because God's word will not return void. His church is growing. It will grow. And God's going to use you and your wife and two boys to help bring that about. He's going to give you the skill sets. He's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you the discernment. He's going to show you the path. He's going to establish your steps and show you that unique path and steps to get that church established and then grow. And I believe with all my heart that God has uniquely assigned you to that purpose for the gospel. The gospel will, we know it's God's will for people to get saved. We know it's God's will for the gospel to be broadcast to the ends of the earth. And we know that the Holy Spirit is in us to give us the boldness and the discernment and the wisdom to do that. So I know that God's got his hand on your life, and you're uniquely designed and created, and your experiences have brought you to this place. To where, regardless of the opposition, I just want to encourage you, because I know right now you're not in that country. You're actually stateside because of some things, and I don't know how much you can share about that. But I want to encourage you to not be discouraged, to not be thrown off of your mark and off of what God's called you to do. But know that He still has called you, set you apart. There's still a job for you to do, and he's still got you to do and make that difference in that part of the country and part of the world, I should say. I just want to encourage you today with that, and I feel like that we've just kind of skimmed the surface here. If there's any, but we got to kind of start landing this plane here, so because we're gonna have to end this broadcast. But is there anything that you want to speak to the folks that are watching this, and maybe encourage them in their station in life where they are? Just what is the Holy Spirit telling you right now?
Yeah, I think the main thing is just don't get discouraged, right? Like I heard it said that sometimes we pray for an easier burden to carry. Instead, we need to pray for a stronger back to carry the burden and the purpose that God has given us. Mm. And this is something I've really been struggling with. You kind of just touched on it, but we just wrapped up our season of fundraising, made it back to the Himalayas. And due to the COVID outbreak, within 9 weeks or 2 weeks after landing, we went to extreme lockdowns. They even shut down grocery stores. If you were caught out on the streets, they would put you in prison, or they were beating people on the streets. And, you know, so we were in this lockdown with our two little boys. We just got settled. We didn't even have all of our furniture. We didn't even get to sit at the kitchen table for over 7 weeks. We were all sitting on the floor eating. And then due to a visa issue, we were getting kicked out of the country after 9 weeks of being in. So we had to jump on a U.S. charter flight and just landed back in the States about 2 weeks ago. And we literally didn't have we're kind of homeless right now. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We're kind of bouncing around between couches. And the journey's been rough, right? Like watching my kids go through these constant state of transitions. But it's in these moments that we have to hold on to the call that God's given us, because it's easy to allow these distractions or these hardships to deter us from what God's calling us. And so I would encourage everyone listening, there are going to be hard moments. There are moments where we question our calling. We've had our kid taken out of school by a teacher and took to a Buddhist temple and forced to bow down and worship a monk, and no one ever told us. Like, we had no idea, right? You face these hardships. But at the end of the day, we cling to the fact that greater is Jesus that is inside of us than anything the enemy will do to us in this world. And so we cling to Jesus no matter the cost, no matter the difficulties, and no matter the hardships that we face.
Kind of reminds me, Pierce, of like how when we were in school, imagine, you know, in elementary and middle and high school, you study to the test, right? Remember that the teachers would give you the information and teach because we're going to have a quiz, we're going to have a test, and you want the goal is to, you know, ace the test. And that's kind of what life is in some ways. You kind of study to the test. And right now what you're going through is the test. Up to that point, you know, there's been a lot of teaching and lessons, but now let's see how you're doing with that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are viewing this right now that are maybe at that point where they're looking at that. It's not a final exam, but it is certainly an exam and they're going through a test right now. I would love for you to pray for those folks as we wrap this up. And then at the end of that, I'd like to also have us as viewers and myself, we'd like to pray for you and your family as we conclude here. Would you lead us in prayer and pray for the folks that might be going through a test right now and that God would just give them strength? Let's all bow our heads in prayer as Pearson leads us.
God, we just thank you for who you are and who you've called us to be. God, we thank you for who you are inside of us, God, because we all know that we are nothing without you. Our identity and everything that we are, God, it's all about you. It's about your goodness in and through us on a daily basis. God, I pray for the people that are listening and watching that are going through difficulties and hardships. And God, maybe they're starting to question, are they on the right track? Are they on the right path? God, I pray that you would just give them a strong sense of peace as they cling to you, God. I pray, Lord, that they would become desperate for more of your glory and more of your presence in their lives, God. I pray, God, for the distractions, not to all the hardships, not to distract them, God, but they would just keep their eyes focused on you, God, because Satan will do anything he can to try to distract us, God. He does not want you to succeed. He does not want your glory to be revealed around the world. But God, we commit. God, we commit our actions, our mind, and our hearts to overcoming the hardships in order for you to be glorified. And so I just pray that over the people that are watching and listening right now, God, I pray that you would bless them in abundant ways by filling them with the fruits and the gifts of your Spirit as they go about their lives, Lord. And we just thank you.
And Lord, we thank you now as we wrap this up, and we just want to lift up Pierce and Megan and their children, their two boys, to you, Lord God, as they're going through this test right now. They're going through a time where it's really hard to understand what's going on, but we don't have to. We're so thankful that we don't have to like or understand the tests that we go through in order for us to embrace learning from them. Those are not criteria for us to have faith in you. For us to understand it, for us to like it, neither one of those are criteria for us to have faith in you and trust you. So, Lord, I pray that in spite of the limited understanding and in spite of the not liking this, I pray, God, that they would push these two things aside and really focus on keeping their eyes fixed on you, the author and the finisher of their faith, knowing that you have the big picture in mind and that they would trust you, that that you got a plan and that you're not surprised by this, and that they would pass whatever test that you're putting them through. Lord God, comfort them, strengthen them, encourage them. And Father, as they move forward in their calling, I pray, God, that everything that they lay their hands to do would prosper and succeed for your glory and for your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord God, that through Pierce's life, through Megan's life, through their children's lives, that many, many souls will be won into the kingdom of God. Lord, help them to bloom right there where they are, right there where they're planted right now, and realize that the harvest field is not just in the Himalayas, but it's all across the world. So maybe there's a person or people that they need to reach out to right there where they are, and that's your assignment for them. It doesn't have to make sense to us. We just walk in obedience to that. So God, strengthen them today and be with all of us, Lord God, that we would pass those tests that you place in our lives and that we would trust you, that you have our best interest at heart through all of those things. We love you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pierce, hey, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I wish we could talk more. I'd like for you to come back on the program sometime down the road, and maybe we can catch up a little bit more and continue this conversation. But for now, we just want to commend you and thank you. You're a hero. The missionaries to us at Faith Assembly are heroes of the faith, and I thank you for your obedience to walking out what God has called you to do, you and your family. And I just pray a special blessing over you today in your life. And for those of you who are watching, we pray that for you as well. And I hope that you'll join us again next time on The Harvest as we interview another missionary that God is using to expand the kingdom of God. And share this video with others as well if you feel like this would be a blessing to them. Also, you'll notice at the bottom of our screen that Pierce has a way of you to communicate with him and contact him. And so if you will, click on that link. He would be happy to reach out and communicate with you as well. And if there's any way you want to support him, pray for him, or whatever the case may be, he'd be happy to do that as well. So Pierce, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you all for joining us on The Harvest. And until next time, we'll see you then.